This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Set me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us. And I'm going to begin this broadcast by reading a quote by Pastor Jim Cimbala. And he writes, "Why aren't there more prayer meetings in our churches? I'm convinced that the main reason is that pastors know the folks won't come to a prayer meeting due to their lukewarm spiritual condition. But can't we start somewhere, even if it means just two or three hearty souls come?" And Cimbala makes prayer a big priority in his church. They run prayer meetings. They pray during their Sunday morning services. And longtime listeners will know that that's one of the things I talk about. You read the book of Acts, they begin with 7 days straight of prayer meetings. And then all through the book of Acts, they're meeting for prayer constantly. And prayer, as Charles Spurgeon said, is our most powerful spiritual weapon. And so why don't we have more prayer meetings at churches, and why are they sparsely attended even when they do come? I've visited a church of 5,000 recently, and I was looking through their website and I couldn't find a prayer meeting. And then I checked that church out, attended a Sunday morning service, and they very briefly up on the screen mentioned they had one men's prayer meeting a month. And I thought, one a month, you should be having one a day. And so when Pastor Jim said this, that folks won't come due to their lukewarm spiritual condition, I thought, ooh, is he getting close to the mark there? Is this really the truth, that we don't have prayer meetings? Because, you cannot spend a whole lot of time in prayer without your heart opening up to God. And oftentimes when that happens, if we're in the wrong place, there's a little bit of conviction will start slipping in there, or we have to discipline ourselves to be still and to be quiet. And there are a lot of things that'll get in the way of the prayer life. So I'm going to begin with a big one these days, by reading from an article. And the title of this article is "Teens Check Their Phones 64 times on average during school hours." So 64 times while they're at school. And the article goes on, "Researchers at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill monitored the phone habits of 79 students ages 11 to 18 over two consecutive weeks and found the average teen logs more than two hours of screen time during school alone, roughly one-third of their total daily phone use. How are they not getting busted for this? But the more unsettling finding wasn't how long students were on their phones. It was how often they were picking them up and what that habit appears to be linked to in their ability to focus and stay on task." And the article continues, "Students grab their phones an average of 64 times during the school day. Those who checked most frequently scored worse on a standard test of focus and impulse control." This was published in the JAMA Network Open. "The study draws a line not just between phones and distraction, but between compulsive checking and the kind of mental discipline teens need to learn and grow." Prayer requires mental discipline. you can't be wandering in the daisies mentally if you want to have an effective prayer life. So already out of the gate, these teens are getting messed up. So what happens is phone addiction fragments the brain. So we have a hard time focusing and being still and being quiet. And so let's take this to another level. And so phone addiction is basically choking our spiritual lives. And Francis Chan, who many of you know, recently wrote a book called Beloved. And in that book, he shared this story. I remember my daughter telling me about how one of her college professors asked her class to practice sitting silently alone with the Lord for 7 minutes each morning. And almost everyone confessed that they couldn't do it. They needed to turn music on to distract themselves or couldn't resist the urge to check their phones. When I saw that about turning the music on, I immediately went to Sunday morning at church. Because even when the rare times the church will have a moment of silence, it's not really a moment of silence, they always got to have music in the background. Why is that? If you're going to have a moment of silence, and have a moment of silence and have it quiet. Because it's too distracting. And then sometimes that music going on isn't quiet during that moment of silence. And then Chan continues, if we can't sit still and focus for 7 minutes, how are we ever going to sustain a relationship with a God that we cannot see? A God who demands that we seek Him with our whole heart. Silence and meditation are very important spiritual disciplines that are getting utterly lost in the American church. If you find yourself unable to be quiet for any length of time, you urgently need to start working out that spiritual muscle. The enemy has popularized the inability to meditate, and God is calling us to rebel against this. Chan continues, this is not a light matter. And key in on this, what he says, I truly believe it is critical to the longevity of your faith. We all know that if you stop spending time with someone, it creates distance in the relationship. And a distant, shallow relationship with God is a playground for the enemy. So what's happening here is if you have a choked prayer life, there's going to be a drift between you and God. And the enemy knows how to step into that hole and that gap and cause a lot of wreckage with, the pleasures of this world or being distracted and drawing you away from your prayer life. And it is so critical that you have, every believer has a strong prayer life right now. And then Chan continues, if you want to have a robust, intimate prayer life, you're going to have to sacrifice for it, and you're going to have to work at it. But there is no pursuit more worthy or rewarding, and amen to that. The guy sounds like a real Christian to me. Absolutely, 100%. We need this message. We need to key in on what's perfect, not watching The Chosen, not Christian entertainment, not the latest Christian movie, but spending the hours we would have spent watching a Christian movie or entertainment instead on our knees going hard after God. And Rebecca, my 23-year-old daughter, is with me. So what is your take on this?
I think that sums up a lot of believers these days is that mental focus is a lot of people don't have that. And first of all, I you're talking about like schools and kids being on their phones all day. I just was thinking, I can't imagine what it's like to be a teacher having to deal with students like that who can't focus, and they're probably misbehaving too if you're trying to tell them to not be on their phones. And I remember in school we had to actually put our phones in these little shoe cubby things on the door so that we wouldn't touch them. And I can't imagine trying to tell kids that these days, like, you need to put your phone away. I imagine that they would be so angry and cause some sort of fight. But that's what has a hold on youth these days, is that scroll, and that addiction. It is an addiction. And So that's just, it's so sad to see that our mental focus is like 7 seconds. So something doesn't catch your eye in 7 seconds or something, it's, you're on to the next thing. And that's so bad for your mental brain and also your relationship with God, because I even struggle with that myself, was trying to sit in silence for half an hour or more. And I know that it's hard, but I do know that it is worth it, and it is refreshing, and it is beautiful, but it is trying to discipline yourself that it is hard, but worth it, and you're able to do it. It's just getting through it. Those first couple of days trying to reprogram your brain to not want to check your phone.
So let's get into a story of how you know it can be such a blessing to encounter God in the silence. So when you were young, maybe 12 years old, I remember 12 or 13, we all went to a retreat in Beulah, Colorado. And what I was trying to do is mentor you all on time alone with God. And we all went out and I told everybody to scatter, go alone out in the forest. This was up in the mountains. And you had an encounter with God. So describe what that was. What happened?
Yeah, it was at first kind of like, what am I supposed to do just by myself as a 12, 13-year-old in the mountains? I didn't know what I was doing, but I just found a bench near the retreat center. And it's easy to just be by yourself there because there's nothing around. And I just flipped my Bible open. I wasn't planning on anything. First, I prayed, like, speak to me, Lord, please. And it was Psalms 50. He said, basically, like, everything that you see is mine, everything, like the birds, the nature. And as soon as I read that, a hummingbird came right in front of my face. And if you know anything about hummingbirds, they're very skittish. If you look at them, they fly away. And so a hummingbird came, like, a few feet away from my face and just stayed there for a couple seconds and went off. And I was like, hello, Lord. Yeah. I know you're here. It was amazing, really. Yeah. My first encounter that I remember.
So it had a big impact on you.
Yeah, it was like him just sending that little, it was a small signal, but it was big impact that I knew that he was there.
And that's where we graduate from an Awana level knowledge of Bible verses to a true encounter with the living God that can really be a faith changer, right?
Yeah, because you're experiencing it and you're not just hearing or reading about it. And that's what's, I think, if people just tried to even encounter God, even ask him, it might not be that instant, but just a small encounter is very, I can't think of the word, but it's very rewarding and like, wow, this is real. Hmm.
And isn't that really what we're after when we go to church? Not just to have and this is important, not just to have a teaching and not just to have our praise and worship time, but to really, these personal encounters are powerful. Mm-hmm. And I think we're really at a core, every human being is starved for who God is and what he brings and what he gives and what he floods our heart and spirit with.
Right. But you can't do that when it's a scheduled meeting at church, really. It's hard. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it kind of feels impossible when it's so structured and we have the worship band and we have our announcements and then message and then one more song and then we go, and that's it. And it feels like there's no room or time for God to intervene. Not saying that the message can't be powerful and speak to you, but like you said, whenever there's a moment of silence, it's like, there's not silence, I can't focus, when you have this music going on that's supposed to make me just feel good and like, and that's it.
So why do you think we're afraid of silence? Why do you think there's always something going on at most church services? There's almost always noise. Why is a culture, like what Francis Chan said, that listening in silence with God is being basically eradicated from a lot of believers? Why do you think we're afraid of silence?
Silence is scary for a lot of people because that's when when there's nothing happening around you, nothing that you can focus on around you, that's when things start popping up and you're with your true self, and things are coming out that maybe make you uncomfortable or you're not used to or you've never realized before. But that's where God can change you and speak to you. And that's what's scary, but is necessary for your walk.
So really, we start facing ourselves.
Yeah. In silence.
And all the emotions, and if there's emptiness, and if there's pride, and if our heart is hard, all that comes bubbling up. Is that what's going on?
I think so, yeah. And that's why it's so scary when you are so scattered that you can't focus on those things and let yourself go through those things and let yourself have God change you, really, through those quiet times.
Well, when I read an article like youth checking their spending 2 hours on their phones in high school, I immediately go to, what the heck happened, Mom and Dad? Mm. Why haven't you been equipping your kids and disciplining them? Even like, no, when you're at school, you're there to learn. I mean, if you're at lunch, fine, you can be on your phone, but absolutely unconditionally, no, you will not be on your phone during class time. And I find out that you're doing it, you're going to lose it for a while.
Well, the parents are just as addicted. So if an addicted parent is telling their addicted son or kid, like, that's not going to go well because they don't even know how to sit in silence. If you go out in any restaurant or even just a grocery store and you see a family with young kids, the kid is just attached to a tablet as they are. And it breaks my heart every time I see that, because you're creating I don't want to use the word monster, but if you take a tablet away from, like, a kid, and I'm talking like 6 or 7, and that's way too young for a kid to have a tablet, they automatically throw a tantrum because they're not getting what they want, but that's what they're used to. And that's so sad. And the kids should not have tablets. That is so bad for their brain and our brains, even as adults.
Yeah, the average American will spend 5 hours a day on their phone. That includes, you know, social media or YouTube videos and everything that comes onto that. So that's, I mean, geez, 5 hours a day, that's a lot of time lost.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing to realize is that a robust prayer life like Francis Chen is encouraging people to do is going to be opposed. So who do you think is going to be behind all of this? There's an enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the things I found interesting in Francis Chan's book, it's called Beloved, was that he admitted that for the most part, he'd stayed away from talking about spiritual warfare or the demonic realm. And I'm going to read this from his book. It says, many are oblivious to the spiritual battle that rages on around us. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Imagine if you looked up from this book to see a lion slowly circling you, getting ready to pounce. What would you do? Run, scream, pray. Whatever your reaction might be, I seriously doubt it would be to pick up this book and continue reading like nothing was happening. And yet that is exactly the kind of casual attitude we can have towards Satan and his demonic forces. And then here it is from Francis. He writes, for much of my life, I didn't think or talk much about the demonic realm because I didn't want to be one of those people who see demons and everything. But the Bible is clear that evil forces exist and their goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. And then he writes, I have felt the strongest attacks in decades while writing this book. And when I read that, I thought, duh, because the enemy does not want the church or believers talking about the spiritual battle. He wants believers just to sit there and just let all those lies and the discouragement and depression and anger and rage, all these thoughts flow through their mind and thinking, buying into the lie and the delusion that that's all them when the enemy is playing them like a puppet. Chen also writes, if a guy fought a lion and the lion won, would you be surprised? We really shouldn't be surprised to see so many people currently losing to the enemy. And he don't care how he wins, whether it's by being distracted with your cell phone for 5 hours a day. It doesn't matter. Whatever it takes. Simple, subtle little things can do a lot of damage if we let them take hold. And then Francis continues, he says, and these are strong words, you will die if you don't get serious about standing in the strength of God's might. You are destined to join the long list of those who have fallen unless you recognize the danger. And he shares otherwise another place in the book where he's seen hundreds of believers fall away. It's our natural instinct to protect ourselves when there is physical danger. So how come we don't protect ourselves in the face of spiritual danger? We have to take the spiritual war more seriously than we currently do. Be honest. How often do you think about the fact that you are at war? When was the last time you actually fought? And my friends, how do we fight? We fight on our knees. I heard a pastor say some years ago that Satan laughs when we have our Bible studies, but he trembles when we pray. And I agree, because this time, reading the Bible and absorbing it is a beautiful blessing. But the work comes in and the power comes in when we're going after the kingdom of God, when we're focusing on the kingdom of heaven, when we're learning how to rest with him in prayer, when we're learning how to pray. And there's just so much. Prayer is just like another universe and another world in a way, because we're entering into eternity. In prayer, we have 1 foot on earth in the horizontal, 1 foot in eternal. And it's really, once you start understanding this, and that the eternal realm is more powerful and strong than what we can see, and you start learning how to connect with God, it's amazing. And you'll want to pray, but I hear from a lot of believers that, oh, well, it's hard for me to even pray for 5 minutes. And if you've got a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or if you got a spouse, if you're going to tell them that it's hard to sit with them for 5 minutes, what does that say about your relationship? What does that say about how you really love them? The thing about prayer is true prayer comes from the core of our spirit, from the core of our soul. And when we understand this and we just let it flow, it just comes naturally, really, because that's how we're wired, to talk with God naturally. We were made to talk with God, to commune with him, to walk with him, to hear him. And a part of prayer is listening. There's times I may be praying and I'm realizing, you know what? I got my hands around this issue too tightly and I need to be quiet and step back, because as it says in his word, in quietness and trust is your strength. Think about those words, what he's saying, in quietness and trust is your strength. Solitude and silence are the source of the believer's strength, because then we can go to God and say, you are Lord and my strength. Strengthen me today. Give me what I need today. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I will listen for you. I will wait for you. I love you. I want to be with you. I love being with you. And getting to know God in prayer is just a wonderful, absolutely wonderful blessing and gift. There is this nothing like it. But what happens is we modern believers let so much choke our lives. So you want to take the bull by the horns. You are responsible. I am responsible for turning the phone off, for shutting it down, for learning to listen. You can't blame this on the phone. You can't blame this on the enemy. Yeah, there is a very difficult spiritual battle, but you have to stand up and fight. You have to break these strongholds. You have to share your weaknesses with other believers. You have to move forward with this and decide, you know what? My life is going to count for eternity. I'm not going to play games with God. I have very little time on this earth left, and I'm going to devote it to the things that count for eternity. So pour your lives out. Don't retire. Go all the way and let God have you. Thank you for joining us, my friends, and we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.